Thank you, team. All my days, thank you. You know, there was a time that I saw all my days as mine. My life was mine, to do with it as I please. I did not understand or credit God with my days, even though He is the creator of all of us. And I praise God that He didn't let me stay in that ignorance and in that selfishness. Now He revealed to me who He was and the truth of His Son, the truth of who I was. That I needed Him and that He was the God of my days. And I praise Him for that, and I hope you do as well. We are Team Jesus, and we are here as the Church of Jesus Christ to be salt and light in this world. And it definitely needs the church to be salt and light. We are going to go back to 2 Peter after our Mother's Day break. Hope all of you mothers had a great, wonderful Sunday last week. But we're going to be back in 2 Peter. We're going to continue in the sermon that we've been looking at, verse 1 in chapter 2. Why are there false teachers? Today we're going to be looking at how a nation is affected by false teachers. Again, we're setting the context for this chapter. We've only been in verse 1 for the last couple of weeks. We got a whole chapter Peter lays out on false teachers, but this is kind of setting the context so we understand the chapter. What we've learned so far is false teachers, the results of false teachings, creates false pastors, creates false gospels, which ends up creating unbelievers inside the body of Christ. Some estimates today, 70% of sitting in evangelical, born-again churches across America, 70%, are unsaved, because 70% in a recent Barnum Research poll, 70% of those sitting in churches said that God respected the other religions in the world, that they were ways to Him as well. That Jesus was not the only way. Again, the pastor I heard this from said that, you know, if you're sitting in church and you believe that there are other ways outside of Jesus Christ, then you are not a believer. You do not have the understanding of what it is to be a born-again believer, because there is only one way, and we would never, ever, ever put another way next to Jesus Christ. There is only one way. There's only been one who's died for our sins, that wonderful cross. There's only forgiveness through Him, because He is the God of all our days. There's only one way. But because of these false teachers and these false gospels, there's unbelievers in the church. Tares among the wheat. Paul talks about dividers, complainers, grumblers, those who cause division in the church, all seeking to weaken the church, because that's what the enemy wants to do. So the church is not salt and light. And a weakened church has a direct effect on the nation and on its people. We're going to see that today. So false teachers not only hurt the church, but they can affect the nation as well. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false teachers among the people in the Old Testament, the Jews, even as there will be false teachers among you, the church, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. In other words, destructive there means damnation. The teachings are not going to bring people to Christ. They're not going to bring them out of sin. They're not going to bring them to a born-again moment in Jesus Christ. It is going to direct them towards damnation. This is religion. This is religious ways. You're going to look good on the outside. You may even, you know, sound good. But in reality, if you believe these teachings, they are taking you towards damnation, judgment. Heresies are teachings that go directly against what this says. And there's more heresies in the church today than I could put into a sermon. It says here, they even deny the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. Now, if Christ really had bought them, we've been purchased with a heavy price. We've been born again. We've been purchased. We no longer belong to ourselves. God owns us. If we've been purchased with a heavy price, then how are these going to suffer swift destruction because God's people do not experience destruction. Well, Paul is calling them out. They're claiming to be bought, born again, but their future is swift destruction. They're not bought because true born again believers want to stick to the Word of God and not bring in heresies. So Paul's calling these teachers out. Not Paul, but Peter. Now, what's so amazing about these destructive heresies? Not only do they affect the church, as we've already talked about, it affects the whole nation. How is that possible? How can false teachers inside the church affect the nation out there? But what we must understand is Jesus designed the church to be a special group of people, elect, chosen, priesthood, his own special people, a holy nation. Many ways he describes the church. We were supposed to go out into our different societies around the world and be that influence of good, to be salt, to be light, to be the moral compass of a people, of a nation. That's what the church is designed to do. But if the church grows weak, if the church becomes corrupt, or even in some cases non-existent, or complicit with the world, then that influence is weakened. And evil is able to push against it. There's a direct connection between the church and its influence and evil in a group of people or a nation. Let me show you what I'm talking about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the Apostle Paul, ready? In our gathering together to him, the rapture of the church, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as it from us, as though the day of Christ had come. You had missed the rapture. The Thessalonians had believed they had missed the rapture. Between 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, Paul was with them and wrote them 1 Thessalonians and taught them all this stuff. Then he left and some false teachers came in claiming to be from Paul. Or maybe a letter written by a false teacher claiming to be Paul. But someone came in and told the Thessalonians that they had missed the rapture and they were in the tribulation period. And now they're all freaking out, concerned, worried. And they write Paul, like, Paul, you said we were going to be raptured out before the end. And Paul writes 2 Thessalonians to calm them down. So listen, talking about all this end time stuff. Don't be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if it was from us. Whoever told you this, it's not from us. As though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, the end period, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the falling away comes first. See, right now the church is growing. It's going to spread across the Roman Empire. It's going to become the religion of the Roman Empire soon. But see, there's a time coming in the church when the church will stop growing and the church will start falling away. Falling away from the truth. Falling out of love with Christ. And will become complicit with the world. The end will not come until the church falls away for the most part. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Now we know this is the Antichrist of the tribulation period. Or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Again, this is stuff that we'll be covering in our study in the book of Revelation on Thursday night, starting next month. But here's the Antichrist declaring himself to be God in the newly formed temple in Israel. Verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you all these things? Verse 6. And now you know what is restraining that he, now it's referring back to the Antichrist and evil, that he may be revealed in his own time. They're not in the tribulation period. There's no Antichrist on the scene yet. But he will be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, capitalized, who now restrains, will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now, he, capitalized, who restrains evil, before he's taken out of the way, we know this is the Holy Spirit of God, holding back evil. And when the Holy Spirit pulls back, then evil's bill is going to be able to run completely free, and that's when Satan will bring his man of sin, his man of lawlessness on the scene. But the question is, there's a he restraining and a what restraining. Now, God is never classified as a what. The Holy Spirit is restraining evil in this world. You look at the world and go, you must not be restraining very much. Trust me, when you understand the end times, the evil then, this will look like a walk through the park today. The evil that's coming. But the Holy Spirit is holding evil back to a certain extent through the what. Until the what is removed, the Holy Spirit is removed. Now, how can God be removed? God is omnipresent. He's in all places and all times. God cannot be removed, but his presence through the what? The church. Very good. Those people who are filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit, who are to come together and who are to be salt and light, who are on mission to share the truth with the world. There's hope in Christ. When the church is removed, the rapture of the church, then evil is going to be able to go. So you see what you connect the dots here. As long as the church is here, the Antichrist Satan can't have his full reign. Yeah, but as the church has grown weaker in the world, what has the world become more like? It's Father Satan. As long as the church is there, it's holding back evil. But once the church is removed, he who now restrains through the what, the church, will do so until he is taken out of the way. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed. So Paul is telling, listen, church, you're okay, Thessalonians, you're okay. The end time hasn't come. We're all still here. The Antichrist is not here. One day we're going to be taken, and then the Antichrist will come. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his coming. Yes, there's an Antichrist coming. There's this plan of Satan. It's not going to work. In the end, God's going to just destroy it. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. You might need to be reset it. So, we've got to figure out what's causing that, something. But anyway, the connection here I want you to understand, the church plays a role in holding evil back. God is patient that none should perish. Yes, we know the end times are going to happen. We know many people are going to reject God, but there are some who won't. But how can they believe in what they've not heard? How can they hear unless one is sent? God is here through the church beckoning those that will come. And as long as the church is here, we are holding evil back. But as the church grows weaker, we see evil growing stronger. Now, evil will continue to grow stronger. And at a certain point, God turns people over. The church is here, but even when the church is here, God can turn people over to their sinfulness. And it's not pretty, because as we as the church look around, there are things happening in the headlines. There are things happening in government. There are things happening in the world that just don't make sense. It's like people have lost their minds. And we as the church must understand what is happening, because we are called to stand in this day when the world is losing its mind and try our best to help people find the truth. That's what we're called to do. So here in 2 Thessalonians, you have to understand the church, we have an influence to play if we will surrender to Christ. We can influence. We can hold evil back. We can help people find Christ. But also you need to understand this is happening right now in our world. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. This is called the Romans 1 judgment. And this is happening right now around the world. And yes, it is happening to our nation. There are judgments in the tribulation coming, but this is a preliminary judgment that God allows to happen, that He causes. And this is really man-made judgment. Let me show you. Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth and unrighteousness." How many people don't even want to hear this anymore? They want to ban this as hate speech. They want God out of the public arena. Get rid of the Ten Commandments. Get rid of everything. Just as Psalms 2 said, they said, "Let us break His cords off us. We want nothing to do with Him." As this begins to happen, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Even though people want to reject God, even His existence, they're without excuse. Verse 21, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful." I said, you know, my days were my days. I wasn't thankful for that God gave me my days. I wasn't thankful that God created me. It was my life. So we've all been here. "They did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." If you continue long enough to reject God, even though the evidence is there, professing to be wise, they become fools. "And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man." They change who God is. They make God more like them. Basically, they make themselves God. They create a new version of God of the Bible, one that fits them better than the one that fits here. "And birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." Verse 24, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness." You see, we only come to God because God seeks us and calls us. "None that seek God, no, not one in the world." So how do we end up with God? Well, He seeks us and He calls us to Him. But there's a point when God stops calling people. And if He stops calling a person, they will never, ever come to salvation. That is a terrible, dangerous place to be. "Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator." Verse 26, "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due." Now people today say, "You know what, Pastor? You shouldn't read those verses. It's not politically correct. It's not loving." But remember, we go with the definition of God's love. And God does not love iniquity. He rejoices in the truth. You tell people the hard truth. If you really love people, you'll tell them the hard truth. If you tell people what they want to hear, you're loving yourself. If you tell them what they need to hear, then you're really loving them. And here, when people are turned over, they go down paths that God calls vile, that calls unnatural, abominations to Him. Some of us have taken these paths. We've been here. But we were washed in the blood. We were justified. We were sanctified. Such were some of you. So don't be looking down and judging these people harshly, because such were some of us. But it is a sign of a people that are going away from God at a rapid pace. Romans 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over what? To a debased mind. Some of your scriptures may say reprobate mind, which means useless, worthless. Your mind becomes worthless. It no longer functions correctly because the sin nature, the sin, the corruption has defiled it, rewired it so it doesn't work. Your mind is not logical anymore. Are you wondering why some of the people, especially our leaders in the world, are making such decisions? Like, how can they even think like that? They're under Romans 1. Their mind has literally stopped working. There is no more discernment. Folks, this is happening all around us. Give them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who know the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things deserve death. They do not care. Not only do they do the same, but they also approve those who practice them. So they applaud when people join them in their evilness. You see, when the church stops being the church, when the church becomes religious or the church is more focused on themselves, when we stop being salt and light, when we corrupt and complicit, or we just don't want people to hate us so we don't say anything, evil grows. And some people end up going down paths that they never return from. This has affected our nation. Let me show you how bad it's affected our nation. Showing us how desperate it needs for us to stand up and help people. Judge Jackson refused to define woman during confirmation hearing. I'm not a biologist. We all know, hopefully you know about this, maybe you don't. The newest Supreme Court justice went and got confirmed. She could not define what a woman is. Why? Is she dumb? Of course not. She's a woman. There's an agenda here to erase what God has done. In the beginning, God created them male and female. He created them. They want to get rid of that. She can't define men and women anymore because there's multiple genders. This is supposedly one of the most intelligent people in our nation. Can't define what a woman is. Most of history, we've had two genders, so it's pretty easy to define. You got male and you got female. Now there's 100 plus genders. Number grows every day. I was reading this morning in Wisconsin, eighth graders, three eighth grade boys are being investigated for sexual harassment. Not because they touched a girl inappropriate or assaulted or anything like that. They use the wrong pronouns when speaking to somebody. Talking about Wisconsin, Wisconsin lawmakers criticized for calling women birthing bodies. This is the reprobate mind, the debased mind. Can't think logically. Now, we all know biology is simple. Science is good. Females get pregnant, males cannot get pregnant. So there's nothing wrong with saying pregnant women, birthing women, but their agenda refuses to let them do that. So now you have to accept the fact that men can get pregnant. Go to the next slide. Romans 1, folks, we are gone. Our leaders. Disney slams Florida for signing Don't Say Gay Bill into law. Again, this functions with the gender issue, because what they want to bring in is all this gender identity into kindergartners through third grade in Florida. There's no reason to be talking to kindergartners, first graders, about sex in the public school system and gender identity and confusion. The charge has been made, and I think it's very fitting that these people are trying to groom these children for sexual exploitation down the road. Trying to get their little hooks into them at such a young age to warp their thinking. And this bill here has nothing to do, the word gay is not even mentioned in it. It has nothing to do against the gay people. It says, listen, you simply won't teach sexual subjects to these young children. I don't know how many of you in kindergarten got taught about sex. Didn't seem to hurt us. Today they want to teach pre-K, kindergartners, first and second graders. John Hopkins Center Against Child Sex Abuse hires professor who defended minor attracted persons. Talking about they wanting to groom children. This is a new gender, they're saying. A new gender. Minor attracted individuals. What we used to call pedophiles. Now they're trying to normalize it. How far have we gone down the Romans 1 road? You know where they change the creator into the creature and they make God more like us? Corruptible man? MSNBC analyst claims Jesus Christ would be called a groomer if alive today. That Jesus would be on their side getting these children ready to understand sex and stuff. And I've watched some of the videos. They're too bad for me to even bring in here and show you. Of kindergarten teachers posting what they're teaching their children behind the parents' backs. And they're dumb enough to post it online. It's disgusting. Parents fume over Biden's remarks, students are teachers' children. You guys hear about this? Because remember, they already said the teachers, they don't want the parents at the school board meetings. The parents are domestic terrorists. And now they're saying, you know what? The children really belong to the public school system, the teachers. That's their whole mentality. And they're doing things behind parents to undermine the authority that God gives parents. He doesn't give government authority over our children. Democrat lawmakers across 19 states want to offer trans youth legal refuge. So here's what they do. They come in, they start talking to children very young. They tell them that they're not the gender that they were born with. They get them confused. They get them against their parents. Many of these are being done behind the parents' backs. Teachers are telling the kids to keep it quiet. Teachers are renaming children at school. And then, well, when the kid is so confused, then they tell them basically their parents are bigots and racists, homophobes. And then the kids, they're wanting to give kids a way to abandon their parents and seek refuge. Drag queen reads during worship service at Cincinnati Church celebrates Pride Month. So it's not just in the public schools, public libraries where they have these hours. Now it's inside of churches. How far have we gone away from being the church, being salt and light? And how far has our society gone down Romans 1? Now let me tell you something. This man right here in that picture, God loves. And God will wash clean and forgive and restore, and he'd be just like one of us by the grace of God. So don't think that I'm coming because I know this is going to go online and I'll probably get hit for this. Oh, you're not loving. You're unkind. No, this has to be pointed out because church, we have failed. We have failed to be the church. Too many people are concerned with their cares of this life and they come and they sit in a pew, but they do not go out in the world and try to be salt and light. The church has become complicit. The church has backed off. I am doing this so that we will wake up and understand the times we live. And then we will try to help someone find Christ. You need to understand where we are. As the Bible says, wake up and understand the times you live. Well, we're that generation, folks. We're that generation. Now, this is just the gender and the and sexual immorality, the crazy stuff of Romans 1. Let's go to another subject. 63 million plus babies have been killed since Roe versus Wade. Let that number sink in. Go to the next video.
Okay, then why don't you make sure that they can raise them instead of forcing them to get an abortion?
Why are we supposed to do that?
Shocking and devastating to see that white Christian fascists are about to decide what women can do with their bodies, and they're about to not only uphold the Mississippi law, but also overrule Roe.
Well, I definitely called my family and we had like a little toast going. This is incredible. I have been part of the pro-life movement since I was like 14, and I honestly didn't think we'd ever see anything like this. This is it blows my mind.
Go to the next
so
one.
Excited.
Think what Roe says. Roe says what all basic mainstream religions have historically concluded, that right, that the existence of a human life and being is the question. Is it at the moment of conception? Is it 6 months? Is it 6 weeks? Is it quickening like Aquinas argued? I mean, so the idea that we're going to make a judgment that is going to say that no one can make the judgment to choose to abort a child based on a decision by the Supreme Court, I think goes way overboard.
Now, some things I want to point out real quick. His reasoning there. If we don't really know when life begins, should we not side on the air on the side of caution? Wouldn't that make sense? If we really don't know when life begins, well, let's just decide that it begins. Let's be cautious about it. Make sure we don't make a mistake, and let's just begin with conception. But what did God say? We've had a verse in our song. He says, I knew your days before they were even formed, before you were born, I knew you. But here's what I really wanted to point out in his video, President. If a woman wants to abort her what? Child. They don't even call it a fetus anymore, because that was a more medical term that was like non-human. It was just a bunch of tissues inside of the body. But now they're calling it a child. And that first video, that one lady said, what did she say? White Christian fascist. I don't know why she's bringing white into it. We're just Christians. And there's white Christians, black Christians, brown Christians, red Christians, yellow Christians, Christians of all colors that are against this. Remember, there's only one race. There's a human race. All from one blood. Has nothing to do with the race. This is, has everything to do with righteousness. But just understand, you're going to stand up for truth. You're going to be called a white Christian fascist. Protests at Justice Holmes, nothing compared to forcing us to bear children we don't want. LA Times column. So people say, oh, it's terrible to protest at a judge's personal home. And they say, hey, that's nothing compared to forcing us to bear children. See, they're calling them children. But we don't want them. Well, if you don't want a child, then stop doing what causes children. Go to the next one. You see, because of false teachings and weak churches, some person out there has that understanding because we've created God to be the creator to be like the creature. So this person feels justified in praising the God of whoever she's created, that God would be for killing babies. If you really know the book, God brings the hardest judgments down upon those people who sacrifice their children. But it's worse for us here in California, folks. When you don't know where to go, you come here. California preps to be a haven for abortion rights. California, infanticide bill, isn't fixed by latest amendments, legal experts and pro-life groups warn. This bill called AB 2223. Next slide. It's a bill making its way through the Senate, and it passed the Assembly Health Committee on a vote 11 to 3. 11 voted for this. Basically, this is allowing to kill babies up to 28 days after birth. And it's not just the medical staff who could kill the baby. It's anybody. Go to the next slide. For years, pro-life advocates have argued there's no moral difference between ending a child's life but days before birth or days after birth. California's pro-abortion legislators now seemingly agree. This justifies killings of millions of children. The womb is now declared open season on unwanted newborns. Every Californian must oppose this bill. Go to the next one. There's a clause in there called perinatal death. Death due to pregnancy-related causes, but it's worded in such a way that's very vague. So basically it says this: a mother, her boyfriend, or that matter, the babysitter, can starve or beat or shake a three-week-old baby, because it's under 28 days, to death, and no one investigates under the bill. And that's what the bill clearly says. Any baby that dies within 28 days of birth, no investigation can be done by law enforcement. Here are the two people who are making this happen here. Go to the next slide. This is a California Assemblywoman and our governor. They're wanting to create abortion tourism. They put forth this bill. Next slide. California introduces abortion tourism bill. This is March 21st. Basically, you can get this bill, Senate Bill 1142. Next slide. You can go and read it for yourself. This is actually going to take taxpayers' money and help people travel here to have abortions. And will help with their food costs, their travel costs, their hotel costs. Your tax dollars. $63 million babies so far. Why anyone in America would any longer say, God bless America, I have no understanding. You know I'm a patriot. I love my country. But there's no reason for God to bless this nation anymore. And here's the real reason they're behind wanting this death of babies and to continue down this path. Democratic pollster, potential overturn of Roe versus Wade, actually means theocracy is on the ballot. They do not want God over them. Again, Psalms 2. They're scared of the truth coming back into the public arena. Pelosi lauds protesters using righteous anger. They don't know what righteousness is. Christ had righteous anger, righteous indignation when he cleansed the temple not once but twice. But protesting for the right to kill children is not righteous. This is the mind that's been turned over. Reporter calls for violence against pro-lifers, say they shouldn't have peace or safety until they're dead. That's where we're going to in this country. Violence and more violence. Last thing. Judge Jeanine, lawlessness in America is different now. Criminals have permission. Our justice system is rapidly failing. Murder rates are skyrocketing across the United States. Rape, human trafficking, children in the sex trade, carjacking, robbery, just random violent attacks with no common sense to them whatsoever, no reason, just random drug violence. And folks, I could go on and on and on. But I'm already out of time, and it's more than I could share in a sermon. But what we must understand is this whole understanding of false teachers, while we have to, I as a pastor have to stand so strong against false teachers, and you must stand against it as well. One is to protect the church and the integrity of the church, to keep it focused and keep it strong and keep it salt and light, because when the church is not salt and light, then the nation, the people, are devoured by evil. We're safe. We're safe, right? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. It's all that matters, right? I hope that's not your attitude. I'm almost done. A few more verses and I'm done. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And he describes the people. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This chapter says they're going to wax worse and worse. Folks, we're not going to stop this stuff. People are going down Romans 1 and they're not coming back and they're taking others with them. But we're supposed to be out there saying, don't go. Come here. There's hope here. There's truth here. There's forgiveness here. But what's happening is going to continue. We're not going to get our country back. We're not going to get the old normal back. It's not going to happen. You can ignore it. Stick your head in a hole in the ground. It's not going to change it. We need to understand we are in the last days. We're not in the tribulation period. No reason to freak out. But we are there in the days of sorrow leading up to the end. And the only thing that matters are eternal things. It's not the cares of this life that we're so wrapped up in. It's not ourselves. All this sin, all this evil, all this debased mind that we see all around us, there's only one cure. There's only one cure to abortion. There's only one cure to the sexual immorality, to the gender confusion. There's only one cure. And it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel. And we must share it. 2 Peter 2:1, false teachers. You see how they all connect. They weaken the church, eventually divide it, weaken it, and then evil is able to run amok in society. But if we take our calling serious as a church, we can help save people. We can help. We're not going to stop it. Things are going to keep getting worse. It's just the days we live. But if we take this calling seriously, let me close. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. God through Jesus Christ has reconciled us. We've been saved. We've been forgiven. Now we can be back in relationship with God. If you have been reconciled, you are back in relationship with God through Jesus Christ by being born again of the Holy Spirit of God, then you who has been reconciled to us, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, who has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Folks, that's what we're to be about. That's what we're to be about, all of us. Are you? I mean, just ask a gut check. Don't answer. Just a gut check for yourself. Are you really concerned during the day about reconciling anybody to Christ? Are you worried, concerned at all about anyone who's a non-believer? Does it even affect coming? Is it even a thought in your head, you know, I hope I can share with someone today the truth? Or are you just too caught up in the cares of this life? You're just too caught up in yourself. If you've been reconciled, if you've been born again, then you should have the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God should cause this desire for you that you want to help others find him. It should happen that way. If it's not, there's a problem. We've been given this calling. We're to be ambassadors. Are you an ambassador for Jesus Christ? And that's not just attending church. That is being out there with the word, the ministry of reconciliation, bringing lost people to Christ. Just to be honest with you, most in the church in America don't even give it a second thought. That's somebody else's job. That's the pastor's job. Last verse, 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were called and have confessed. Lay hold of eternal life. In this world, what matters? Only those things that will go for all eternity, because the rest of the stuff in this world is going to burn up. When I die, I can't take anything with me. But I can take those who I have led to Christ, those who God has used me to reach. I can take the treasures that I've stored up in heaven. That's all that matters. Lay hold unto eternal life. Live in such a way that you live for eternal things, which are people. Fight the good fight of faith. Be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Put on the full armor of God and stand in the evil day. And do all that you can to stand, to be salt and light. People are heading down a slippery slope. The whole nation is going down a slippery slope. You're not coming back up. We're not coming back up this slippery slope. We've already started down the slope. At the end is a cliff. Humanity's going towards that cliff. But we can stand. As everything slides around us, we can stand and try to help. One here, two there, three there. That's what we're called to do, folks. That's why we're a church. The Great Commission. All the evil we looked at, I wish we didn't have to look at it, but we need to have our eyes open to what's happening in the world. We need to understand the times we live. We need to understand that we could very easily be, and I believe we are, the last generation of the church. The first generation of the church, oh, they took the gospel everywhere. If we're the last generation, let's make the last generation of the church as strong as the first generation. Let's make a stand. Let's be the church. I talked to many of you. I know you're trying to engage coworkers, friends, family. I know you're trying to take those opportunities, but it's going to take all of us doing that. It's not about growing the church. It's about reaching lost souls. Whether they come here or not, doesn't matter. Because when the trumpet sounds, we'll all be together anyway. One big church service before the throne. There's only one thing that can wash away all the evil we just looked at, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the crucified, risen Jesus. Go ahead, come on up here, team, worship team. It is the crucified and risen Jesus we must share with people. They need to be cleansed with the only thing that can make us as white as snow, and it's the blood of Christ. That is our flag. That is our rallying point. That is everything to us. And this is what we must share with people. They need to be washed. They need to be justified. And they need to be sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand up and let's sing that song.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Is that a catchy song? I'm going to pray that that just captured every one of your minds. You're going to hear that song over and over. And you know how we, you know, just it's just going to pop in there. Why? Because those are the questions we need to ask people. Are you washed in the blood? Has your soul been cleansed? Have you gone to the fountain? Those are the questions we need to engage people with, because that's all that matters. The clock is ticking down. The trumpet will sound. I believe we will hear the trumpet for the church. I may be wrong, but I believe we will hear it. And then it's too late. But while we're here, let's engage people. Talk to people. Look for those opportunities that God opens up and jump on them. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's the only thing that cleanses us from all our evil. Let's share it with people. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that this sermon is received in the intent and heart that was given, not as an attack, not a judgmental attack on the unbelieving world, but to realize where the unbelieving world is, where people are, where they're trapped, where they're in bondage. And some, Lord, are yes, I know some are probably beyond hope. But we don't know that. We don't know who's beyond hope. So we try to be salt and light to everyone. And we try to love everyone. And I know our love will be considered hate to some people because we're telling them the hard truth. But Lord, that is the cross we have to bear. And we bear it gladly because you bore a cross for us. So, Lord, I ask you to help us to stand strong, to be your people, to put on the full armor of God, which is every piece of it is Jesus Christ, to put on Jesus Christ and make our stand in the evil day with truth and with love, kindness, but boldness, Lord. Make us bold. Let us have a concern again for the lost. Grow that in us, Lord. Because that is your heart. You came not to condemn, but you came that we might be saved. I ask you to help us, Lord, to be good tools in your hands, to be a faithful church in your hands. We praise you and we thank you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for being patient with me this morning. God bless you guys. You guys have a wonderful week in the Lord. Now we are Team Jesus. We're going to go on the playing field of the world. So we're going to break out of here. Ready? On the count of three. 3, 2, 1, break! Let's go.